message by Pastor Byron Brown was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. First Baptist exists to glorify God by declaring the life-changing message of Jesus and by discipling all people so that everyone can delight in God's supremacy over all things. It is our desire to adequately proclaim God's word so that believers will grow in Christ and unbelievers will be convicted for their need for Christ. Pray that you will be challenged and encouraged as you listen to this message from God's Word. As you're seated, let me encourage you to take your Bibles now. Let's turn to the book of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10, as we continue in our series of following Jesus and looking at different ways by which we become a Christ follower, as I pray through this week in regards to really leading up to the revival One Fest, of knowing what to preach on, following One Fest, believing that God was going to give us new believers and give us people who become new to the family. Today I want us to look at what it means to follow Jesus as our shepherd. That He's our shepherd. And if He's a shepherd, then guess what that makes us? We are His what? His sheep. Now, how many of you like to think of yourself as a sheep? We do a lot of that around here, don't we? I mean, think about it in the New Testament. As you think about what God calls us, I mean, sheep is not one of the best titles, right? I mean, you think about it. If you go through the New Testament and our identity and our characteristics of what He calls us, I mean, 2 Corinthians 5:17, He says we're a new creation. So I like to call us that title, right? I mean, but then you go on through the New Testament, like John chapter 1, verse 12, verse 13. If we choose Him by faith, we become children of God. That's a pretty good title. What about 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9? This was even good, that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own chosen people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, He says that we are sojourners and exiles, passing through this earth, that this is not our home, that we're just passing through. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 37, one that I love and I want you as a believer to always remember. He says, we are more than, say the word, conquerors through Christ. And then we get to this passage, John chapter 10, and Jesus says, we're nothing but sheep. Anybody been around sheep before? You know what a sheep is? They stink. Let me change that around. They're not smart. They don't have much intellect. They are helpless. They are very vulnerable. And they're prone to wander. And that's why a shepherd has a tough job. But Jesus calls us in this passage of Scripture that we are sheep. But I want you to know that they're also useful as well. We're going to get to that part of the Scripture today. But for those of you who are new believers, I just want you to know that I am excited for you. We as a church body are thankful for those of you who have committed your life to Christ. And as much as this message is for those of you who are new believers, this is as much for those of you who've been believers for years. To be reminded that you and I are the sheep and He's the shepherd. And sometimes I think we as believers get that reverse oftentimes. And we want to tell Christ what to do instead of submitting to let Him tell us what to do. Can I get an amen out of that? I mean, we oftentimes forget how much we need the shepherd. All of us need to have the shepherd to correct us and to be able to guide us and to leave us. And because all of us in this room who've been believers could honestly say, I believe, that there's probably been a time where you felt like you wanted to wander, but the shepherd drew you back to the fold. And that's the job of the shepherd. Because if you're genuinely a sheep, you can't wander away and stay away, right? If you're going to come back to the sheep, you're going to come back to the flock. Let's read this text this morning, John chapter 10. We're going to read verse 1 through verse 18. Our concentration is going to be verse 7 through verse 18 as we study to see what Jesus tells us about the shepherd. As you have your Bibles open, if you would stand with me as we honor God's Word, as we read the Word of God together. John chapter 10, verse 1 through verse 18. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and say this phrase with me, and the sheep follow him. Notice our series, Following Jesus. We notice the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they, notice this, they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus begins again in verse 7 to explain it further. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So, say this with me, there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Notice, no one takes his life from the shepherd. He gives it freely. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the powerful truth in this word. God, change our minds today. Remind us that we are the sheep and you're the shepherd. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. As you're seated, as we look at this word this morning, I shared with Liz this morning, because usually I get up very early on Sunday mornings, more than I do during the week, just to have time with the Lord and review my notes and do some further studying. If you know anything about me in studying, I like to study to the very last minute, because I love to find every nugget of truth as possible. So I'm thinking about the sermon all day long on Sunday morning. So if you ever find me maybe not friendly on Sunday morning, it's not because that's the way I am, okay? It's because I love you and I'm just thinking about the message. So don't think, if you see Byron in another zone walking down the hallway, don't think, "Man, that pastor's just stuck up snob." Just think, praise God, "Man, that preacher's thinking about the word." That's what I do, and I promise you. This morning, I'm sitting at the table and I'm typing on the computer, and my daughter gets up and she runs in there and she loves to sit on my lap early in the morning. She says, "You got your Bible out?" And I said, "Yes, honey, I got my Bible out." "You got your computer?" I said, "Yes, honey." Of course, I have my coffee. "You got your coffee?" I said, "Yes, honey, I got my coffee out." And I said, "Let me tell you what I'm doing, babe." I said, I'm finishing my sermon for this morning. We'll be preaching to the people at church." "Oh." Of course, I know she's not really understanding all that. And I said, "Daddy's going to be preaching that Jesus is our shepherd, and we are his sheep." "Sheep? I want to see the sheep, Daddy." So I want you to know that she was looking for sheep this morning when she came to church. And so I want you to realize that we are sheep. And that the simplest of that made me realize that a young child wants to see the sheep. And we need to be reminded that we're sheep this morning. And that's a good thing. It's not just a bad thing to think that sheep are dirty and they wander. I really hope this word will take, because the emphasis of this text is not so much that we're sheep, but that he's a shepherd. That's why he really wants us to understand this passage of Scripture. And so, you know, as we've gone through this, the text that's really been our theme has been Matthew 10, verse 24 and 25. Really has been the solid underlying truth by which we have looked at. Look at that text with me on the screen, if you would. Matthew 10, 24 and 25. "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master." We want to be like Jesus. We want to follow him. We want to be as much like Christ as we can. And this text today tells us that the sheep wants to follow the shepherd because he knows his sheep. And so I want us to look at this text. If you look at me now, look with me in verse 1 through verse 7, you notice that Jesus gives a parable. And this parable that he's teaching about is how he's the shepherd and there's a gatekeeper to take care of the sheep, and he's walking in to the sheep pen and calling out his sheep, but we notice that the people don't understand it. They don't get it. But well, here's the context of what's going on. If you look back at chapter 9, if you were to read this, and I encourage you to do that, there's a blind man who was healed by Jesus. And when the blind man was healed, he comes to the temple, to the synagogue, and he's questioned by the Pharisees, questioning him of how he was healed. And he begins to point to Jesus. We know the result of this. He's kicked out of the synagogue because he's disrupting the synagogue and disrupting the religious leaders. And it goes against what their mindset is of understanding who the Messiah is supposed to be. Well, when Jesus learns that the blind man's been kicked out, he goes to the blind man and he begins to talk to him and question him. And he says, "Do you believe in Jesus?" He says, "Who is he?" Jesus begins to explain to him that he is Jesus. And he says, "I do believe." There's a contrast that's here in this story. The Pharisees, who thought that they had all the truth, didn't believe the Jesus who was in front of them, and the blind man who couldn't see, as soon as he saw, believed the one who claimed to be Jesus. And Jesus is now saying in John chapter 10, "I'm the shepherd." And those who don't understand are those religious leaders who hadn't entered the door to be a part of the sheep, to be a part of the shepherd. That's the context that's here. And so Jesus is telling us in this passage of Scripture how to understand that He's your shepherd. And I think when you leave this morning, you can know for sure that you're a sheep and He's your shepherd. Because if you're a part of the flock, you're going to know you're part of the flock. You don't have to question if you're part of the flock. You know if you're a part of the flock, and you know if He is your shepherd, right? Amen? You know if He's calling you. You know if He is leading you. I want to read back through verse 1 through 6 again. And I want to point out to you a couple of things, and then we're going to hit our points through verse 7 through verse 18. Notice again, there's a difference in the story in verse 1 through 6 and the difference in verse 7. I want to point that out to you. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." So there's a door and there's a shepherd in this verse. "To him, the gatekeeper opens." So now you got three things. You got a shepherd, you got a door, and you got a gatekeeper. The gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Here's the picture. There's two types of sheep pens in this particular time frame that Jesus is speaking about. This sheep pen that Jesus is referring to here in verse 1 through 7 is when shepherds lived in the villages and lived in the towns, and they would take their sheep out into the rural areas in the day to let them graze. At nighttime, they would bring them in and they would trust the gatekeeper of a large pen, and they would put their sheep in there and they would go home. The gatekeeper would take care of the sheep, but he wasn't the only one who had a sheep in there. Other shepherds would come and bring their sheep in there, and then in the morning time, the gatekeeper knew who the shepherds were, because some people would try to come and pretend to be a shepherd and try to get the sheep so he could have his own flock so he could take them out there. But the gatekeeper knew who the shepherds were. And the gatekeeper would let the shepherd come in, and then the shepherd would simply step into the pen, speak his voice, and of all the many flocks that were there, those that were his would follow him and lead them out, and those sheep would follow him. That's how intimate the shepherds were with the sheep. Even though they weren't smart, didn't have the greatest intellect, and had to be, they were wayward and oftentimes would do things on their own, but they knew the shepherd's voice. And Jesus is saying that "I went into the flock, called out the sheep, and they called me by name." Now, Jesus says in verse 1 that he's a part of the sheepfold. I want you to understand the context that's here. The context previously has been a contrast with those who are Pharisees in Judaism between the blind man who is being called out of Judaism to salvation. Jesus is saying he goes into the sheepfold in verse 1 through verse 6. It's symbolic of going into those who are of Judaism, and he calls those out who want to believe in them to become followers of Christ and to become sheep. He's calling those out of the Judaism sheepfold, and now they're becoming followers of him to be followers of Christ. This is consistent in the New Testament. He calls his disciples out of Judaism and they become followers of Christ. And this is the image that we see here. And so now Jesus is saying there's a different picture now in verse 7. Now look with me now in verse 7, and I want you to see the first thing that we see here about the shepherd is that the Jesus, as the shepherd, saves his sheep. Now look at verse 7. Jesus said again to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Now you notice the difference? In verse 1 through 6, there was a shepherd, there was a gatekeeper, and there was a door. Three things. Now in verse 7, Jesus says, He is the door. See the difference? Are you with me? Because what Jesus is saying here is a different type of sheep pen. When shepherds were living out in the rural areas, the sheep pen that they had was not one that they took it into some fancy sheep pen where there was an actual gate. They would have a rock wall that they would lead their sheep in at nighttime, and the only gate was an open rock way. And guess who gets to be the door? The shepherd. At nighttime, the shepherd would literally lay in the door to protect his sheep from the wolves. He becomes the door, and Jesus is saying that this is the type of shepherd that He is. He doesn't go sleep in a nice, comfortable bed at nighttime. He stays with the sheep. He loves the sheep. He protects the sheep. He is the door. He is the shepherd. And that's what Jesus is saying here. That He's going to be a shepherd that's going to save the sheep. Because notice what He says here, down in verse 8 and verse 9. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. He's the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be what? Say the word. Saved. Jesus is now taking this parable and this analogy of sheep and shepherd, and now He's putting it into a spiritual meaning to say that if you're going to enter into this sheepfold, you have to come by me, and if you come through me, you will be saved. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This idea of Jesus being the gate and the entryway into salvation, Jesus is saying here clearly that there is no other way, there is no other path. He is the way to salvation. He's the gate. He's the door. He's the way into the sheepfold. And so He saves His sheep. He's letting us know there's the only way that's in here. Now, understand in verse 8 when He says all who came before Him were thieves and robbers. I want to make some real clear application to our present day. Jesus uses two words to describe two types of people. Thieves here were people who were sneaky, who were cunning. Think of it like this. This is the type of people who would go into stores today and try to slip something into their coat or into their pockets that they can slowly take it and try to deceive people. A robber is someone who goes and takes something by force. If they break into your home and use a pistol or go into a bank and try to break into it and take it by force. Jesus is saying there's been people before me who have come like this and tried to get to the sheep. Jesus is saying, I'm the shepherd though. False teachers have come. And I want to say to you today, not only is Jesus saying there were thieves and robbers before, there are thieves and robbers today. John Reed mentioned something this week. Someone had sent me an email about the very same thing, the very same day that he mentioned. If you're Oprah Winfrey watchers, I want to turn you off to Oprah Winfrey watching. This week, if you have not been in tune, hear me very clearly. Because I know some of them immediately are saying, well, she's not really that bad. That's a thief. Thieves deceive. They're cunning. She is now promoting this new earth idea. This is nothing that's racial. This is about what she's espousing. She is saying, and I saw it from her very lips, she's saying, if you have a God that you have to believe in, it's not a God that is right. The God that is the God of the universe is a God that you must feel. You must enjoy. Hogwash. That's contrary to the Word of God. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever say the word, believes in me, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, If we confess with our mouth and what? Believe. That God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a thief today. And I want to say to you that when Jesus says that there are thieves and robbers, He didn't just mean in His time there's going to be thieves and robbers until Jesus returns again, and they're going to do everything they can to try to get to the sheep and deceive people, to pull them astray. She is trying to get a following. I'm telling you, church, If you like her, you need to turn her off, because she would deceive you and lead you astray. Now, there are those who are actually robbers today as well in teaching the Word of God. And those who are robbers in today's society are those who blatantly deny the truth of Scripture. They have no shame about it. They stand boldly and say those things. And still, what amazes me is that there are people who claim to be Christians and fall prey to that kind of teaching. And it's because we have sheep who are grounded in the Word to discern truth from error. And I want to say to you, Jesus came to save you and to protect you. Jesus came to save the sheep. And I want you to be aware that there are those that are out there. And notice what he says, though, in this verse 9. If you enter by the gate, notice what he promises. I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now, I've heard people teach from this and say, well, that means I can get saved and I can go in Christ and I can go out of Christ. No, that's not what he's saying here. Get the imagery again that he's talking about a pen that's in the countryside. Jesus is at the gate, and the only way they can go out of the gate, guess what happens? It means that Jesus has to get up, or the shepherd has to get up. And going in and out to find pasture is when the shepherd would stand up and lead his sheep out of the sheep pen and take them to the areas that was of green grass and let them nurture and let them feed. And he would take them back into the sheep pen and let them rest. Jesus is saying, if you come to me, I will feed your soul and you'll find pasture. You'll go in and out and you have everything that you need, because he's a good shepherd. I was reading on a website this week about, I was just trying to find out everything I could about shepherding. You know, shepherding today is a lot different than it was in Jesus' day. They have things called fences today, electric fences. But even today, with the fences, I was reading about this one shepherd who has a large ranch, and he says it's amazing that when the sheep are not being fed is when they try to leave the flock. They'll try to jump the fence, they'll try to go through the fence, but he says as long as the sheep are fed, they'll stay with the flock. Church, can I just give you the promise that's here? Jesus says you never have to worry about being fed when you come to him. Every need is met. Every spiritual food is met. And he gives you what you need. He says you can go in and out and you can find pasture. Well, let me ask this question practically. How does Jesus feed the sheep today? How does he feed them? Well, in this analogy, this parable, Jesus talks about a shepherd and the sheep. But also later in the New Testament, we understand that Jesus has something called the under-shepherd, which becomes the pastor and the teacher of the church. Keep your finger here at John chapter 10 and turn me to the end of the gospel in John chapter 21. And let me show you how very quickly Jesus was transitioning from his ministry and teaching his disciples of what they were supposed to do once he left. Look at John chapter 21 and look at what Jesus tells his disciples, that he tells Peter to do. Look at verse 15. When they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, what's the word here? Feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said to him a second time, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Back to John chapter 10. You see here, there in John 21, the transition that Jesus is making. You're going to come in and out and find pasture. And then Jesus establishes his church in Matthew chapter 16. And then later, on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, through Paul's preaching and teaching and the order of the church, he places leaders and under-shepherds over the church to be able to feed the sheep. It's their responsibility to fend and to take feed them and to tend the sheep. That's my responsibility on Sunday mornings. Not to entertain you, not to make you happy, but to guide you to be holy. And to guide you to be fed and nourished. I want you to be fat Christians. This is not a first place contradictory thing here. Where are you, Valentine? I don't want you to be fat, unhealthy food. I'm talking about spiritually. I want you to be so nourished when someone pokes you that you just overflow with the spiritual truth of God. Because you're being fed with the Word. I hope that if anything is ever said about me, you can say, man, all that brother ever does is just teach us the Bible. Hallelujah! I hope that's what you say. I had about a year ago, there was a guest that came here about three times, and I had spoken to him on the phone, and I called him. He said, brother, he said, we love you. And this was someone in my neighborhood that I had been visiting and talking to. He said, I love you. He said, man, you just got too much Bible in you. Hallelujah! That's all right. May that be said. Amen? Amen. We'd rather have too much Bible. I want just psychology and just entertainment, just humor, just jokes. The Bible is what is going to feed your soul. And Jesus says here that the shepherd, what he does is he saves you. And when he saves you, he feeds you. He nourishes you. And then notice in verse 10, to sum this particular point up, he says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Now don't disconnect feeding with this truth. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Now we love to quote verse 10, don't we? We love to say, I've got life and have it abundantly, but Jesus makes the connection that life comes through being fed. That when you're being fed the truths of the Word of God by the under-shepherd, then spiritual life comes. It's not fabricated, it's not superficial, it's real, genuine, authentic life, because the feeding of the Word of God, the Spirit of God feeds you, teaches you, grows you, and you then have life. And you have it abundantly. The thief, though, is going to come, pretend like he's someone, and you go back to the other culture, like he was just said, and you go back to the thief, like Oprah Winfrey, she's going to pretend to be something, and she's not going to give you life. She's going to suck it out of you. And so I say to you, make sure that you understand when Jesus came to save you, that's His role as a shepherd, and to feed you. Notice what else we see in this passage of Scripture about being the good shepherd. He says that Jesus, as the shepherd, then secures His sheep. Look at verse 11 through verse 13. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. You see what Jesus is doing in this passage of Scripture? Unlike the hired hand who would stay at the gate and would see a wolf coming, they're not his sheep because he could care less, right? So he's going to leave. He's thinking about his own self. But Jesus says, I'm the shepherd. If you're in the flock, I'm going to secure the flock. I'm going to protect the flock. I'm going to lay at the gate and I'm going to protect you from the enemy. So church, those of you who are believers who are in Christ, may it be said to you that you are a conqueror, that Satan has been defeated because he has crushed the power of Satan. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 tells us he himself partook of the same things that through death he might destroy the one who has the power, that is, the devil. He crushed him. He has crushed the enemy. The shepherd secures us. But why is Jesus, how is Jesus able to secure you? How is he able to protect you? Because he's not talking about spiritual protection. He's talking about your eternal life being secure as well. But he does that because of his character. Notice what he says in verse 11 again. I am what? The good shepherd. Say that with me. I am the good shepherd. Now why would Jesus have to define himself as a good shepherd? Because in this culture, in that day, shepherding was a common practice. There were good shepherds and there were bad shepherds. So if Jesus just simply said, I'm a shepherd, then people could say, oh yeah, you're a shepherd. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He is good because this is not just by definition saying that he's morally good, although we know Jesus is morally good. This is actually be defined as meaning he is beautiful, he's winsome, and he's lovely. But what is actually more accurate here is that Jesus, if you read through the book of the Gospel of John, you will see that Jesus calls himself, there are what's called the I am sayings through the Gospel of John. He calls himself, I am the bread of life. And then we also see in John chapter 15, 1, he says, I am the true vine. He oftentimes puts an adjective before what he describes himself as. And usually when he says, I'm the true vine, I'm the good shepherd, he is indicating and communicating that he is the authentic, genuine one. So here he said, I am the authentic. I am not the artificial. I am the real, true McCoy. I am the good shepherd. There is none other, he says. People can pretend to be the shepherd. Jesus warns us that even in the last days there will be those who claim to be Christ. And Jesus say, no, I am the good shepherd. He's the one. He's the protector. So He secures us because of His character. He is good. But notice about this as well. Look back at verse 11. And don't miss this article. If you're looking at your Bible, notice, what is it there? It is the article, the. I am the good shepherd. You know what that word means? It would be different. Let me change it around. What if Jesus says, I am a good shepherd? It's a big difference, right? English teachers in the house? It's a big difference between A and the, correct? A is indefinite, the is definite. That means that Jesus is saying, I'm the exclusive good shepherd. There is no other good shepherd. I am the one. He is the way, the truth, the life. There is none other that can be able to come into the sheep except through Him. He's the good shepherd. But notice, why else is He... How else does Jesus secure His sheep? He secures His sheep because He lays His life down for them. Look at the text again there in verse 11. He says, the good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. If Jesus lays it down, that's an indication that He loves the sheep. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Paul says, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Laying His life down, a shepherd would willingly often lose His life in the gate to protect His sheep, losing His life in the midst of destroying the enemy. Jesus secures you and me. And here He's talking about our salvation. He secures you and me for eternity because He willingly gave His life. Laid it down for us to secure us for that. He's not a hired hand. Now hear this with me. He laid it down how many times? One time to destroy the enemy. Jesus says here in this passage that the hired hand would run from the wolves. There is the one true wolf that had to be destroyed. That's Satan himself. He was the enemy, and Jesus laid His life down one time to defeat the enemy for all time. That's what we talked about in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, that He tasted death to crush the power of Satan for all time. He is the good shepherd, and He secures us because He laid His life down. So you who are in Christ, I want you to hear me. Your salvation is secure when you've genuinely trusted Him because He laid His life down. Satan doesn't have to be defeated over and over again. He defeated him once and for all. Praise God. He defeated him once and for all. He secures us through that. But then notice also, hear this truth in this passage. Jesus says that wolves are imminent. Do you hear that in the passage? The hired hand sees the wolves coming. Jesus says He lays His life down. And Jesus actually laid His life down to defeat Satan. But even after Him laying His life down, you are who in Christ, there are going to be wolves who are going to try to come and attack. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are what? Ravenous wolves. They're still going to come. And so I want to make a very practical application to those of you in the audience today. If you've been an attender here for some time, whether you're attending here or whether you're attending churches, understand very clearly, there is a danger when you try to stay as a sheep and you don't connect to a flock. You hear me? When you are sheep, there is safety when you're in the flock under the under-shepherd. Because you can be protected. But when you're out there trying to wander on your own, you're prey to the wolves. You're prey to false teaching. But when you are connected with the local flock, if you're in Christ, you are part of the universal flock. But when you are in Christ, you become a part of a local flock. Then there becomes safety and harbor and protection. You follow me there? So I want to say to those of you who've been visiting for some time, I would encourage you to prayerfully consider, this is a place we need to be so you can be a part of the flock, so you can be safe and secure from the enemy. There's two applications here. Secure for eternity, but secure in our walk with Christ as well. So that's what Jesus is saying to us, that He secures us. Let me show you another way He secures us. Jesus secures the sheep today through under shepherds is what I made reference to. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 and verse 29. Paul, as he is speaking to the elders, who were the leaders of the church, He specifically calls them under shepherds, and he says to take care of the sheep and the flock, but also to be careful of the wolves that are coming. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, what's going to come? Fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Jesus warned it in the New Testament. Paul warned it in Acts, and it's still imminent today. That wolves will still come. And he says it's our responsibility as under-shepherds, as Andrew and Robert and I lead the church and the deacons help us minister the church body. Our goal is to keep the flock together so that we're protected from the enemy, and so thereby it's necessary to be connected to the flock. That's the application. But Jesus also says we're secure for eternity. How else does he secure us? Look at verse 14. He secures the sheep because he knows them. This is good to know. How many of you in this room, I want you to raise your hand, you really like someone to know you? All of us in this room want to be known. Not necessarily for popularity's sake, but I'm talking about the deep inward sake. We don't like to be put on a facade. We want to be able to really genuinely know who we are. And Jesus says in this passage that he's the good shepherd because he knows the sheep. He knows, and look at verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. We're secure in Christ because he knows us. He knows everything about you. He knows the deepest secrets that you have. He knows your struggles. He knows your weaknesses. And he knows your strength. He knows who you are. He knows us. He knows us by name. I love, I was reading through James Montgomery Boyce, who is a preacher that I'm actually doing my PhD dissertation on, so I'm reading a lot of James Montgomery Boyce, but one sermon that I was reading through and on this particular passage of Scripture, he expounds upon this text and talking about what it means when Jesus actually knows us, because he's talking about a sheep, and he gives four things. He says Jesus knows us because the sheep are different. All of us in this room are unique, and yet he still loves us and he knows us. He secures us even the fact that those of us may are different. And then he says he loves us and he knows us even though that we are helpless. You know, a sheep can actually sit on its back and have difficulty flipping over like a turtle. Get that image in your mind. That little sheep just sticking its hands up there. You know, just the sheep can die if it's in the summer, if he's not rescued. Because he's helpless. And so he has to have someone who will come and actually take over him. You know, a sheep is also helpless because he does not have the ability to distinguish between good food and bad food. A sheep can actually go and eat poisonous food unless the shepherd directs them to good pasture. He's the good shepherd. And he knows this. He knows that we are prone to oftentimes to take in junk. And so the Holy Spirit convicts us when we are consuming junk and points us to what is true. Amen? Then he tells us also that James Montgomery Boyce also says that Jesus knows us because he knows that we are helpless, because even in the face of a predator, you know, a sheep would look at the predator until the predator takes a bite out of him. He won't even cry a bleat until he's already been attacked. And Jesus is saying, I know you. I know you're prone to even be attacked. But I'm the good shepherd. And I know you. He also says he knows us because sheep are wavered. Sheep are prone to wonder and prone to leave. Just like the song, Come Thou Fount of Many Blessings. We know that song says, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I praise God, the shepherd takes care of the sheep. You ever seen a shepherd's staff? I have one in my office. I meant to bring it out here. Big, long staff, and has a big nook on it. And if a sheep continually wanders, you know what the shepherd does? Breaks the sheep's legs. He will break the leg of the sheep. And he'll put the sheep over his neck until the sheep learns to hear his voice again. And then the sheep learns the shepherd is for his own good. We are known by the good shepherd. And I'll say to you in this room, and that discipline is because he loves us, not because he hates us. Hebrews tells us in chapter 10 that he disciplines those whom he loves. Praise God, we have a good shepherd. James Montgomery Boyce also says he knows us because he knows that sheep, even though that they're helpless, even though that they're wayward, even though that we're different, that they are actually useful. Because if a shepherd is actually giving the nourishment to the sheep like they need once a year, he will shear those sheep because the wool has been produced, and that wool then becomes useful for production and useful for income for that shepherd. And so if the shepherd is doing his job and he's been taking care of them, even though the Lord knows us and our struggles and our weakness, we still are useful for the kingdom. Isn't that good to know? That even among our weakness, that we look at this passage of Scripture in verse 14, says, I'm the good shepherd, I know everything about you, but he also knows that you can be useful for him. And so Jesus secures us because he knows us. The last truth that I want you to see this morning from this text, we follow Jesus because he's our shepherd, not only because he saves us. And notice the order here. He saves us, and then once you're saved, he secures you. And then once he secures you, Jesus seeks more sheep. Look at the text there in verse 15 and verse 16. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. If Jesus is going to bring them, what does that mean Jesus has to do? He has to go get them. He has to go seek them. But don't miss some deep doctrine that's here in this passage of Scripture. Jesus says he has other sheep that he has to go get. Jesus, in the context, has been referring to those out of Judaism that he has been calling. Now he says there are other sheep who are not of this flock. He's now speaking to disciples and to Pharisees. He says, I have other sheep that I have to go. Guess who he's referring to? To the Gentiles. He's referring to those he had to go get. He's talking about you and me. That he had to go and be the good shepherd and to seek us. But then notice what he says, though. He's going to go seek his sheep. He knows those who are going to give their lives to him. Ephesians 1 tells us that he chose us before the foundation of the world. That he's going to seek those sheep. Do I know who those sheep are? No. But I know that he's told us that based upon this passage of Scripture, the only way the sheep will come is through his voice. Look at the text again. I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also. And how will they come? They will listen to my voice. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, that no one comes unless there is a gospel to preach. The word of God is through the proclamation of truth that God draws people to himself. And so when we go out there and we did one fest and you're knocking on doors and you're sharing the gospel in the workplace, you don't know whom God has called, whom God has chosen, but we know that he tells it that there are sheep that are out there and that we must speak the truth of God and then speak in the voice of God. It says they will listen and they will come and they will follow because he's a shepherd, and when they come and when they be it, they will be his sheep and they will listen to his voice. There's evidence of this same truth. When Paul taught in Acts chapter 18, verse 9 and 10, Paul had just been in Athens and had been a defeated time. He goes to Corinth. He also had a difficult time. And when he's in Corinth, the Lord comes to him and he says, Paul, don't be discouraged. He says these words, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. Hear this, for I am with you and no one is going to attack and harm you. For I have many people in this city. The Lord was telling Paul to keep preaching because there's people that's going to come that you don't even know who they are, but through your preaching and declaration of truth, those people will respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I say to you, church, Jesus is the shepherd, sought you, and he continues to call. You know the evidence of a sheep? Look back at the verse again, verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And say it with me. They will listen to my voice. Jesus is not just speaking about when they first respond to the call. He speaks about how we will respond to his call every time he calls. It is the evidence when you and I are genuinely in Christ and he's our shepherd and we are his sheep. When he speaks, we listen because he's the shepherd. And do you know why we want to listen? It's because we know he saved us and he secured us, and so we want to follow his voice. We know that he lays at the gate to protect us from the enemy. We know that he has called us out of death and saved us into life. We know that he's going to give us good pasture. We know that he's going to willingly give us everything that we need. And so we realize he's a shepherd that I want to follow. So church, this morning, I want to say to you, He's the shepherd that we should follow. And Jesus tells us in this passage of Scripture that He's not out for multiple different ideas, because notice what He says at the end of verse 16, there's going to be one flock and one shepherd. And He's referring here to not just Judaism and Gentiles. He said there's going to be one genuine, authentic flock, that Jesus is going to be the shepherd of that. William Barclay, who has written some lay commentaries, he made a comment in regards to a missionary who had gone to Canada to preach the gospel to some Indians that were there. And the Indian there, in hearing him, responded to this truth. William Barclay, and I quote now, tells of an incident from the life of Agertown Young, the first missionary to the Red Indians of Saskatchewan, Canada. Young had gone to see these Indians with the message of the love of God the Father, and they had received it like a new revelation. When he told his message, an old chief said, quote, "When you spoke of the Great Spirit just now, did I hear you say, 'Our Father'?" "Yes, I did," said the missionary. "We know Him as Father because He is revealed to us as Father by Jesus Christ." "That is very new and sweet to me," said the chief. "We never thought of the Great Spirit as Father. We heard Him in the thunder. We saw Him in the lightning, the tempest, and the blizzard, and we were afraid. So when you tell us that the Great Spirit is our Father, that is very beautiful to us." The chief paused, and then, as though the glory of it were even then breaking over him, he asked, "Missionary, did you say that the Great Spirit is your Father?" "I did," said Young. "And," said the chief, "did you say that He is the Father of the Indians?" "Yes," said the missionary. "Then," said the old chief, like one of whom the light had now burst, "you and I are brothers." The chief realized that when someone genuinely comes to Christ, regardless if they're an Indian or regardless if they're a missionary, if we genuinely come to Christ, there's one chief and there's one shepherd. Martin Lloyd-Jones, great preacher in England, made the statement. He says, "We are equally sinners. We are equally helpless. We have all come to one and the same Savior. We have the same salvation. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same Father. We even have the same trials. And finally, we are all marching and going together to the same eternal home through Christ Jesus our Lord." There's one Father. There's one Shepherd. And this doesn't mean that everybody's on that road. Make sure you understand that. They're saying that only those who have come through the gate and come through the Shepherd are able to enter heaven. This morning, I wonder if some of you who've been here this week through OneFest, or even prior to OneFest, God has been pricking your heart and you realize that you're not a part of the sheep. And you realize this morning that Jesus is the only door into the sheep. Today, you can enter that gate. Today, you can choose Christ. You can say that I can't make it on my own, but I can trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today, in just a few moments, when we have our commitment time, you can respond as the song will be sung. You can come here. There will be people who will be here that can lead you to know how to turn from sin and trust Christ and be able to make Him your shepherd and you become a sheep. I wonder, for those of you in this room who are believers, you know that you're sheep. And there's been a time in your life now, maybe you've been wandering, but the Spirit of God has been convicting you and calling you back. Today's the day to stop wandering and come to the flock the way He wants you to be. You respond today as God's spoken to your heart. Father, I pray for us in this room this morning, for those who are here who need to trust Christ as their Savior, who are not a part of the flock, but who genuinely are feeling You calling them today, who need to be able to come, and who need to be able to say, "I'm not a sheep, but I want a shepherd, and I want to be a part of the flock." So, Father, I pray today, You call them to salvation in this commitment time. Lord, may they get up. May You give them faith to come here so they can trust You as their Lord and Savior. Father, I pray for those in this room this morning who also are sheep but have been wondering, but because of Your Holy Spirit, You're calling them back and You're convicting them. Father, I pray today, the day would be the day they return. And Father, I pray today if there are those who are genuine sheep listening to Your voice, God, encourage their hearts today that they may continue to follow the shepherd. Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message by Byron Brown, Senior Pastor at First Baptist Church in Lacombe. Macomb, Louisiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies without permission. We invite you to visit our church website at www.fbclacombe.org. That's FBCLACOMBE.org. You can find information about our church there, or you can call our church office at 985 882